Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God cares for us so much. You understand that? God cares for us so much. I am so grateful when the Holy Ghost interrupts a service. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. If you would, turn the Bibles and your Bibles to 2 Peter. We're starting into 2 Peter today. 2 Peter chapter 1, we're only going to cover a few verses. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through 4. It says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what He's just done. You realize that? Yeah, come on, someone get with me. You realize that's what the Holy Ghost just did in your presence? Brought grace and peace, was multiplied in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus. As His divine, man, I am going to preach myself happy. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which you have been given to us, has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Father God, I thank You for Your Word. Oh my goodness. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Jesus, for the Word of God. Oh, it is the power of God. It is the truth. Lord, it is the living Word, active and alive, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for Your anointing, Lord, upon each and every hearer today, that they would hear the words of life from the Spirit of God, and would separate them and call them out and do mighty things in our life. Father, today we're so grateful for the move of the Holy Ghost, that He is alive and well. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for those that You've healed. Thank You, Lord, for those that You've touched. And Lord, we believe, Lord, that You're going to continue to bring life to each and every one of us in today's service. Now, Lord, my prayer is, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. That's an exciting portion of Scripture. You know, some people call me cheap. I like to think of myself as being conservative. I like to get a good deal. I've been on a few cruises in my life, and I don't really care for the cruise itself, but I like the bargain, because when we go on vacation, I find myself getting tighter as the week goes by because I see how much money we're spending. So I keep thinking, no, I don't want to spend extra money. So I start drawing back a little bit. But when you go on a cruise, you pay for everything up front. I mean, it's what I would call all-inclusive. All-inclusive. Everything that they do on that boat, you can participate. All the food line, man, you're going to gain weight. You go on a cruise, it's just impossible not to gain weight. Today I've entitled this, The All-Inclusive Gospel. See, a lot of people sign up for salvation, and they get so much more, and they don't know about it. And I want you to know about it. I want you to know that there's more to it than just salvation. Can I just escape hell? Yes, you can, but there's a whole lot more to it. Might as well get all of it, hadn't we? In 1 Peter, Peter is expressing to these Christians that are facing strong opposition from without, from outside. Nero and his men are coming in, dragging people out of their houses, burning them at the stake, killing Christians right and left. So he writes the book of 1 Peter to a church that's going through strong opposition from outside. But 2 Peter is a little different. He writes to the church another letter, but this time the opposition's not from without. It's from within. It's coming from the inside. It's people that's rising up and trying to bring a different gospel, trying to preach it. They call them Gnostics because it's knowledge, and they're trying to preach knowledge, and knowledge, the Bible says, puffs up, right? What we need is knowledge of His Word and knowledge of who He is and who I am in Him, right? That's the knowledge that we need. He starts off and he says, for those who have obtained like precious faith. As I sat last night in that Valentine party, my heart was just moved because I sat among people that I love. And the love was more than just to my Valentine, my precious wife. Obviously, I love her. And my son and his wife was there, and I love them. But as I looked across the room, I thought, wow, it's the love of Christ that unites us. We are all so different, right? We may be different backgrounds, different colors, different economic situations. But somehow, Christ comes in and unifies us. Jeff spoke last night about the union of a man and woman, how we may not understand it, but somehow when we come together in marriage, Christ makes us one. And I think that's such a neat concept. I don't totally understand that, but I realize He's done something there. But it also happens in the body of Christ. As we accept Jesus, there's a oneness that comes in. Those of like precious faith, right? We may have differences in some beliefs, but the truth of the matter is, when we believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ask Him in our heart, there's a unity there. Now, Satan tries to slip in and break us off and splinter us. Let's not let it happen. Let's hold tight the unity of faith and the righteousness that comes from, I love that statement. The righteousness that, you know, Isaiah said that my righteousness is as filthy rags compared to the righteousness of God. But guess what? I don't walk in my righteousness anymore. I walk in His righteousness because He's given it to me. So it's, you may look at me and say, how can you say you're righteous? Not in this flesh, but because of what He's done. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Changes the way you pray. You remember maybe when you were early in the faith, the way you prayed really depended upon the week that you'd had. If you'd done bad, you prayed bad. But if you'd done pretty good, you prayed with a little bit more confidence. It ain't about you. It's about Him. We walk in His righteousness. We are unified in this precious faith through the love of Jesus. Isn't that great? I love the family of God. Have you ever felt closer to the family of God than you do your own family? That's Jesus, right? That's Jesus. So He's talking about how He's come in and how He's unified this body. He talks about grace and peace as He says, as His divine power. Oh, I love to talk about the power of God, the divine power of God, the supernatural power of God. His supernatural power of God has given to us exceeding. I love the Holy Ghost. Because it's like, you know, Peter put the pen to paper, but it was the Holy Ghost that wrote this thing. And the Holy Ghost said, let's get it right now. Let's just not talk about the promises of God, but let's talk about the exceeding. Because the promises of God exceed your expectations. He does more than we think or even are able to ask, right? He exceeds us. God always exceeds us, right? He's an exceeding God. We say, Lord, I just need a car. And He says, I want to give you a good car. I want to exceed your expectations. Lord, I just don't want to go to hell. Well, I want to exceed that expectation. I want to do something great for you. That's the God we serve. Amen. Who exceedingly, I can't see, His divine power has given to us the things that pertain to life and to godliness. The all-inclusive gospel. Now listen to this. Everything you need in life That's what he just said. Everything you need in life comes through Jesus. So you got to ask yourself a question. Why do I keep looking elsewhere? Why do you look to the government when you got it in Jesus? Why do you look for it in a paycheck? It comes through Jesus. My wife doesn't bring my joy. Jesus brings my joy. If I'm looking to my wife to make me happy, I'll be a miserable man. Because your spouse doesn't make you happy. Jesus makes you happy. And if you're happy, if Jesus has made you happy, then when two people come together, there's exceeding joy. And you bring stuff to the table and you're able to minister to each other. But I've seen couples that suck the life out of the other one because they expected them to be the source of strength for them. I'm not Treva's source of strength. Jesus is. Now, he may use me to help comfort her, and he may use me, but even that's Jesus in me. He wants to be everything we need. Everything we need. If you need wisdom, he's wisdom. You need to know how to raise those kids, he knows how to raise those kids. You need to know what investments to make, seek the Lord. Are you following me? Am I against knowledge? Am I against education? Absolutely not. I believe you should apply yourself. I believe you should pursue different things in your life. I'm all about that. But I'm tired of the church searching everywhere else when the answer lies in him. And that's the truth. We need to be seeking the Lord. I'm going to tell you, there's probably more done at this altar in 10, 15 minutes as we prayed for people than I could do in a lifetime of counseling. You come to the altar and when the Holy Ghost touches you, life is changed. And you'll never be the same. And you'll never get away from that moment in time when the Holy Ghost touched you. You'll remember it all the days of your life. When Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, for the rest of his life he walked with a limp. And all of Israel knew that man had an experience with God. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus touches your life, all the world's going to know it. They're going to see. Vicki and Jeff was telling us God is bringing Chinese people into their life through SEMO, Southeastern University, right in Cape Girardeau. And they're exchange students, and these are leaders in China that's coming to Cape Girardeau to further their education. And just by chance, they're running into Vicki and Jeff. Isn't that just an amazing thing? And they call her the Shining Lady. Isn't that amazing? It's not because she has oily skin, folks. It's the light of Jesus that these Chinese people are identifying. And they're seeing it and they're saying, we don't see that elsewhere. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus touches you, the world will know it. The world will know it. And we don't need less of him. We need more of him. So how do we receive him? Psalms 42, verse 1 says, as the deer pants for the water, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Colossians 2, 3 tells us that in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You guys are not as old as me, but back in the 60s, there used to be men would wear grease on their hair. And there was an old product called Brill Cream. And the line was, just a little dab will do you. And you just put you could have a wet look all day long from just a little dab of that Brill Cream. You just slick that hair back. My brother told me about it. I don't know. I'm not that. No. I think sometimes that we treat Jesus like that. I think that sometimes Christians come in and says, just a little dab will do me. I'm telling you, I don't want just a little dab. I want all of him I can get. And I don't ever want to stop pursuing him. Do you understand me? This is not the day that we should stop. Don't go to sleep in church not literally, but spiritually, don't go to sleep at this time in your life. Let's wake up and draw near, because there's exciting things happening in the Spirit of God. As the deer pants for the water. As I thought about that verse even this week, I was talking to a young man. I gave him that verse. And I thought about a deer that's been hunted, that's ran and ran and ran away from his hunter. And all of a sudden, he flees for his life, but he comes to this brook. And there's nothing as refreshing as water, right? And that deer goes to the water and begins to drink. Latoya, wasn't that you today? Wasn't that some of us today that says, my heart is dry. I need refreshing from the Holy Ghost. As the deer pants for the water, so I seek your face, Lord. That's the kind of tenacity I want us to have as we pursue the Lord. And he says that we will discover exceeding great and precious promises. And so I began to think about the promises of God. So I wrote a few of them down. Now, I am pretty sure I could have come up with probably 10 times this amount. But I've got 25 or 26 that I wanted us to talk about very quickly. And I know the time is of essence, so I'm going to move quickly. But what are some of the promises of God? The first one is forgiveness of sin. And I didn't write all these verses down. I just wrote the part that I want you to concentrate on. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Psalms 103 says he forgives us of all of our sins. Hallelujah. Guys, don't let Satan beat you up with your past. Quit listening to that voice. He's forgiven you. The Bible says, as far as the east from the west, he's cast that off. So I think that we should be thankful for the forgiveness of sin, right? We should say, thank you, Lord Jesus. In the body of Christ, I find that there's some real beat up people. There are people that have had abortions, and Satan beats them over the head with that. There are people that have done hideous things in the body of Christ. And his blood forgives us of all those sins. And can I just say this? And he wipes away the shame. You're not the same person because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. He makes us new creatures in Christ, new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You're not the man you used to be. You may not be the man you're going to be, but you're not the man you used to be. So we should celebrate the fact that we're a new creation in Christ. Number three, we have been reconciled to God. Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrated his own love towards us and that while we were sinners, he died for us. Can I say this in all respect? You're not that bright. It wasn't your idea to get saved. It was his idea to save you. Amen. Amen. Some of us get to thinking, wow, that was a good choice I made. No. He chose you before you chose him. And while you were a sinner, when you didn't even have him on your mind, he had you on his mind. Thank you, Jesus, for grace. Thank you, Lord. It's his work in us. And then he says that I want to give you life everlasting. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not be condemned, but shall receive everlasting life. John 3:16, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We have got that promise. These are some of the promises of God. And those that I'm starting off with, we pretty much all agree on. And we're like, oh, well, this is going to be a boring sermon if you don't get better than this. I don't think it gets much better than that, personally. I'll celebrate everlasting life every day of my life. I'm thankful that God has saved me. But then we come into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, Ray talked today about when Jesus, in Sunday school, he talked about when Jesus told the disciples, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they thought, That don't sound real appetizing. That ain't the kind of church I want to go to. And they left him. Now, not the 12 apostles, but many disciples left him at that teaching. And sometimes you'll hear things in church that you may not understand, but I always encourage you, don't dismiss it, ponder it. So if you'll just ponder the things of God, then the Holy Ghost can come back and says, here's what that preacher is trying to say. Here's what this really means. And this is the way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now let me just share this with you. Jesus has shared with me, or the Holy Ghost has shared with me, as pastor of this church, that this is the year of the Holy Ghost for this church. And I think that what you saw this morning is a declaration by him. I don't want you to resist him. Now, I know if you didn't grow up like this, that may scare you just a bit. And I just want to say, don't be scared of the Holy Ghost. You may not fully understand him. Let's quit calling him an it, okay? Because he's a him. He's part of the Godhead. He's the agent of God on this earth. So we need the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that when he comes upon you, power comes. I know people, as Christians, we need the power. So therefore, we need the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 verse 38 and 39 says this is to you, your children, and to all those that are far off. So don't you let some people of other denominations tell you that stopped. Because that verse tells you it didn't stop, it wasn't supposed to stop, and he's going to go on. You want just a little dab, or you want all you can get? Me, I want all you can get. I love the buffets. I want all I can get. I can order off the menu, but I'd prefer to have a buffet. That way I know I'm going to get enough. Christ is serving us a buffet with the Holy Ghost. I want all. I'm telling you guys, exceedingly, abundantly, above all you ask or think. He wants to do something great in your life. These are part of the promises of God. You can stop at any part during your journey. You can say, I've had enough. And I've seen many Christians set down on their faith. As far as I'm going, I've got what I need. No, you don't have what you need. Because you don't know what's coming. You hear me? We don't know what's coming. But I got to say, through the Spirit of God, I don't think what's coming is going to be good. I think it's going to be very similar to what these Christians and Peter at this time suffered. We need him. He is. I told Layla when I was praying for her, it's not a coincidence that you led this song. He is my strong and mighty tower. Because when we need him, we got to know we can run to that tower of strength. I can hide in him. He is my confidence. Right? These are the promises of God. He says that we can overcome temptation. I didn't think I'd get too many amens. You know, the truth of the matter is, we're in a church that loves to sin. I'm not talking about Bridge of Hope. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God loves to sin. We just like to sin. But you don't have to sin. And that's the difference. Romans says us that tells us that we have that sin has no dominion over you. You can sin, but you don't have to. You can overcome temptation according to this verse. He will not let anything come upon you that he doesn't show you a way of escape. So when it gets dark and when it gets scary, you can say, Lord, I need the way out. Where's the door getting me out of this thing? Because I need to get out of this thing. You ever had a cloud of depression come over you? I thought at one time I was losing my mind. And I was looking for the way out. And I'm going to tell you, it was a scary time in my life. But God was faithful to bring me out. And God will be faithful to bring you out. Whatever you're in, he's faithful. He said in John 10:10, this verse has been quoted so many times in the last 24 hours of this church. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. There's nothing good about the enemy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. That's a promise of God. Don't you love the promises of God? You know what you can do? You can stand upon the promises of God. You remember your old timers, we used to sing that, standing on the promises. And you can quote the promises back to Him. Say, Lord, your word said this. Situation says quite otherwise right now, but I know your word is true over the situation. So I'm claiming the promises. I'm claiming the abundant life, even though I don't feel the abundant life right now. Even though I feel like I'm being beat up, I still say, I'm walking in the abundant life. That's where that voice comes in that you ladies was talking about, through the Holy Ghost. When it comes from that place where you know that you know that you know who you are in Christ, you lift up that voice and say, get your stinking claw off my head. I am not believing the lie of the enemy. Life to the fullest. His continual presence. Matthew 28, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. He says that he will be with us all the time. The Holy Ghost is with you. And every day, in every way, the Holy Ghost is there. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to go it alone. The Lord is not looking for this Lone Ranger. He's not looking for the Marlboro Man. He's looking for people that will depend upon Him. And He says, I'll be with you. In your time of trouble, I will be there. I'm with you in good days. I'm with you on bad days. I'm with you when you're shouting glory. And I'm with you when you're depressed and sad. I'm still with you. I'm thankful that He is. Isaiah 41, we have a promise of the Lord's strength. He says, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you and uphold you with my righteous right hand. Every time the scripture talks about the right hand, he's talking about the authority of God. The strong and mighty right hand of God. He said, I will strengthen you. Anybody need some strength from time to time? Feel like you're running out on your own? Cry to the Lord. Father, I'm looking for the right hand. I need the right hand of God for a moment in my life. You'll be surprised what happens when you start asking. He promises us our daily provision. In Matthew 6, 25 through 33, and it ends with verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things. What other things is He talking about? What everything you need. Not just spiritual, physical, health, finances. The things that you need if you seek Him first. If He's number one in your life. I don't seek finances. Now, this is corny, I know, but finances will seek me as I seek the Lord. Right? God finances what He calls us to do. That God would answer my prayers. In 1 John 5:14, He says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. God, that's a promise of God. I think Christians, we need to settle it. There's too many Christians says that, well, when I pray, it just feels like my prayer hits the ceiling and bounces back. I don't care what you feel. And you ought not either. But that didn't give me a goosebump. I didn't care about goosebumps. Pentecostal people, we care way too much about the goosebumps. It's what the book says, not the goosebump. And if the book says this is the way it is, that's the way it is. If the book says He hears our prayers, then He hears our prayers. Settle it in your heart, right? It doesn't matter what I feel. I didn't get emotional with that prayer, so it's probably not going to matter. What? I wasn't loud enough. God's not deaf. Say, well, Pastor, you're the one that prays loud. I do everything loud. I'm sorry. I'm just a loud mouth. I'm sure the Lord backs off. Boy, settle down. I hear you. I get into it. He promises in Psalms 46:1 that He will help me in my time of trouble. I love that. Thank you, Jesus. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in my time of trouble. I've cried out before. And felt the strength of the Holy Ghost. I have had the Lord deliver me from my trouble. I know what I'm talking about. I've had my share of trouble in my life. And I'm sure there'll be more ahead of me, but I know He is faithful, that when I cry out to Him, He will hear me and He will deliver me from my problems. Deliverance is the next one. Psalms 50, verse 15. Call upon the Lord in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. That's a promise of God. That's a promise of God. Now, you may have to stand on it. You may have to shout it out sometimes, but it's God's promise that He would deliver you. Psalms 103 promises healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says we were healed. But Psalms 103 says, don't forget His promises. Don't forget His benefits. Who forgives us of all of our sins and heals us of all of our diseases. Say, Pastor, I don't understand healing. Nobody understands healing. But I'll go to the grave believing it. Because the book says it. And I'm going to preach it. And I'm going to believe it. And every time I lay my hands on somebody, I'm going to believe for total restoration of their body. Why? Because it's His promise, not my promise. Say, well, doesn't that make you look like a fool sometimes? No, I'm just preaching the Word. I'm just believing the Word. If I look foolish to man, who cares? I've looked foolish many other times in my life for less good reasons. Blessings. Psalms 84, verse 11, He says, no good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. You got that? That's the Word of God. No good thing will I withhold from you. My child, if it's in my power to bless my sons, I'll do it. I mean, if I can do it, and I don't think it's going to hurt them, I will give them. How much greater is God? Some of us are so concerned that, well, you know, I don't want to bankrupt heaven. I'm asking too much. Come on. You think you're better than God? Am I the Lone Ranger on this? Am I the only one that wants to bless their kids? No. That's something He puts in all good parents, right? How many good parents, every good parent wants their kids' life to be better than their life. How much more? How much more? We can't even comprehend the love of God. But I'm going to tell you, He wants to bless you. I don't know why we want to fight Him on that. I don't believe in the blessing of God, but I'll work 80 hours a week to bless myself. I'm preaching better than you're shouting, I'm telling you that. Psalms 91 says that He would protect us. And this is the one that comes with a condition. It starts off in verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. I love that. You know what? We went to the secret place up here this morning. We were in the secret place, drawing strength from the throne of heaven. He says, 1,000 may fall at my one side and 10,000 at my other side, but no harm shall come to me. That's a promise of God. I pray it over every person that goes into the military that I know. I pray Psalms 91. It's a great verse. In 1 Peter 5, 7, we talked about this last week. He promises that He would bear your burdens. He said, cast your burdens upon me, for I care for you. We don't have to carry it. You can cast it upon Him. It's a promise of God that He would carry your burdens. He promises that He would comfort us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, says He would comfort us in all of our tribulation. He also promises us tribulation. I just didn't want to mention that one. He said tribulation is coming. But He says He'll comfort you during your, and He'll hear you and He will deliver you. We think tribulation is such a terrible thing. Actually, it's a good thing because it draws us closer to Him. He promises us peace. And this is the one scripture in John 14, verse 27. He didn't just promise us peace. He promises us His peace. I love it. My peace I give to you. Oh, that's the peace I want. Right? Not the peace that the world can give you. Let me say this. Not the peace that a big bank account can give you. Now, can money give you peace? Yeah, it can. To a certain extent. Until a problem happens. Right? But God's peace surpasses all that other peace. Amen. His peace give I unto you. In James chapter 1, verse 5, he promises us wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraideth not. It means he doesn't harp on you. He doesn't smack your hand and criticize you. Well, what are you coming back asking for wisdom for? He doesn't do that. We do that sometimes with our kids, right? Well, why didn't you get it the first time? He doesn't do that. He says, I'll give liberally. Anybody need wisdom from time to time? I got both hands up. I need wisdom all the time. Fruitfulness in Psalms 92, verse 12 through 15. Now, I'm not reading all of it. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall bear fruit in old age. Yeah, that's pretty good unless we're talking about babies, isn't it? Not that kind of fruit, Lord. My quiver is full. But I want to be fruitful. Amen. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. But there's fruit out there that I want to bear. I want to bear the fruit of souls. Right? Bring the sheaves in. Bring those rejoicing. I want to be fruitful. He promised us prosperity in Psalms 1:3. He shall be like a tree that's planted by rivers. And it says, whatever he does prospers. Don't fight it. Just accept it. Say, yes, that's the word of the Lord for me. He's going to prosper me. He promises in Romans 38 and 39, his love. He says, for I am persuaded. That's Paul saying it. Paul was a man that knew about conflict. Paul knew about discouragement. Paul knew about hardships. But he said, I am persuaded. I am persuaded that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I talked to a dear friend of mine. We don't get to see each other very often, but all of a sudden we were going in Walmart and he was coming out in Murray, and he lives in Nashville. And they've been through an adoption process, and at one point they were adopting twin girls. And the mother has 10 days to rescind her rights, and they had went through the whole pregnancy with this mother, and they were so excited about getting these babies, and they're in the hospital with the babies. And on day 9, the mother begins to have some doubts. On day 10, she said, can't do it. I want my babies back. They went home brokenhearted. And Joe told me, he said, I had to cling to two things. That I knew that God loves me. And I knew, what was the second one? That I can trust him with everything. Guys, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that. Do you have that deep in your soul? I know God loves me. And I know I can trust him. I don't care what Satan throws at me. I know he loves me. I absolutely, oh my goodness. I know that God loves me. I'm going to tell you, I've seen God change the law of the land for a person. Change laws because of the love of God that he has for us. God will move heaven and earth if he has to because he loves you that much. Number 24, he says that he will give me the desires of my heart. Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Oh my goodness, doesn't that sound like a daddy that's crazy about his kids? I just want to bless them. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says that my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He says that he would give us his grace. Number 26 is the reason most of us signed up. Jesus promised us heaven. He said, don't be troubled. Believe in God. Because I'm going to prepare a place for you. That when I go or where I go, you shall come. You're going to follow me. Guys, we can talk all day long about the streets of gold and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm going to tell you, it's real. one day we're going to cross from this life to that life. And we're going to see the promises of God. But I want you to know, the other 25 are just as real as heaven. We believe in heaven. We're all wanting to go to heaven. We're not signing up to go today, but we want to go. At some point, we want to go to heaven, right? We all believe that's a promise of God. Well, the other 25 are promises of God, too. I was leading song service one day. It's amazing how the Lord, you can be leading song service, leading a church in praise, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost talks to you about something totally different. It's an amazing thing. And I'm leading worship, and all of a sudden, I was worried. In my heart, I was worried. I never had a dad, and I had these two little boys. And I just, in my heart, I felt like I was failing as a father. And it was really weighing me down. I thought, Lord, I don't know how to be a dad. I never had a dad. My stepdad was just mean. And I didn't want to be like that. And all of a sudden, I'm just leading worship. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God speaks to me. And He says, I am a father to the fatherless. And I remember just weeping on that pulpit, thinking, Lord, I don't know how to be a daddy, but You know how to be a daddy. Teach me. You understand, that promise is very near and dear to me. It was relevant in my life. There may be other things, and I hope there are things right now that you're saying, Eric, you didn't say this, man, you missed the boat. You know why? Because to you that was important. There are so many promises. I'm just touching the surface of the promises of God. But I'm telling you, Peter is coming to this church and he says, don't forget the promises. Don't give up on the promises. Guys, it's real. He says, so that through these promises, we become partakers of the divine nature. You see, I talked about that divine nature of God. I love the power of God. See, when you get saved, He plants a seed in your heart. And that seed contains the DNA of God. And as that seed grows, a God tree begins to grow inside of you. Best I can explain it. This God kind, this divine nature. You say, you mean we become supernatural? No, but the supernatural begins to grow up in us. Does that make sense? The divine power of God comes in because of that seed that's planted in salvation. It begins to grow when it's watered with the Word. So that all of a sudden, we become partakers of the divine nature. Isn't that awesome? I think for too long we saw that it's something God does for us. It's more than that. It's God in us. The hope of glory. It's one of the mysteries that Paul writes about. God in us. It's the DNA of God. You see, when we get saved, we're made a new creature in our spirit, but our soul doesn't change a whole lot. In other words, you still look the way you looked before salvation. The day after you get up, if you're used to getting up ugly, you're going to probably get up the next day ugly. But over time, that soul, that mind, will, and emotions, through the Word of God, it's renewed. It's sanctified. And we're becoming new people, new creatures in Christ. If you died the moment after that prayer, you go to heaven. You ever met anybody that got saved, genuinely saved, but they did stuff that just perturbed you? Like maybe they still cussed. You know, maybe they still told dirty jokes or wanted to drink a beer or did things that you grew up with that Christians don't do this. Give them time. Let the Holy Ghost work on them. Amen. Right? Because it's the Holy Ghost that purifies us. It's the Holy Ghost that brings in time. If we just give people, I've been saved. I'm 53. I got saved at 7 and filled with the Holy Ghost the same night. And sometimes the Holy Ghost, not sometimes, often, the Holy Ghost comes to me and says, you need to work on this. And I'll say something like this, well, I've been doing that all my life. I know, and I ain't liked it all my life. It's time we change, son. What am I saying? I'm saying 45, 46 years later, the Holy Ghost is still purifying. He is very patient. He doesn't want to overwhelm you. If he tried to fix this guy all at one time, dear Jesus, you just melt, wouldn't you? That's the way with all of us. But he's patient. He says, through these promises, we become partakers of the divine nature. Let me say this. It's grace, not perfection. Oh, you didn't get it. Let me go this side. It's grace, not perfection. It's by grace you're saved. We're never going to be perfect, but that grace empowers us to believe. Yeah, that's right. We'll be like him. But listen to the last thing, and I'm quitting. And then we escape the corruption that's in the world. This is not speaking of hell. Come on, stay with me just another minute. We escape the corruption of this world that's through our lust. This is not hell. It's us. This old carnal nature, if we let it live out, we become corrupted. There's not good things in store for us if we don't have an encounter with God. And he says, because of this divine nature, because of his promises, I want to stop that corruption that I know is in your future. And I want to bring good things through the promises of God. I want to do good in your life, not evil. But you've got to participate with me. Quit fighting the Holy Ghost and let's say, go with God. Will you go with God today? Will you sign up and say, I want it all? I want all of him that I can get. Stand with me. I want to ask you, and I don't want you to raise your hand, not outwardly, but inside. I want you to tell God this. If you mean it, I'm looking for you to say to the Lord, I'm all in. I'm not sitting down on you. I'm all in. I want all of it. I want all the promises of God. I want all of God that I can get. I want all of the Holy Ghost. I want to see what God can really do in this old hunk of flesh. Is that your heart cry today? I believe it is. I believe the Holy Ghost has already spoken and already done some great things in our life. But with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to give you one more opportunity. Are you here today? And you say, I need to meet the Savior. You know that promise that you talked about? Eternal life. Salvation and forgiveness of sins. I need that. With an uplifted hand, I want to pray for you. Is there anyone that says, I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins? Amen. Amen. I see those hands. How about the rest of you? Is there some things in your life that you say, I need forgiveness? I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. But I'm seeking forgiveness of some things I've done today. And I want him to remove the shame from my life. Anybody here? Amen. Amen. See those hands. And the rest of you, I hope you're saying today, I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm going to pray for you. Father God, Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the move of God. I thank you, Lord, for the promises. Lord, I thank you for these gentlemen that raise their hands. Lord, saying they need you to forgive them of their sins. Father, as they invite you into their heart today, they confess to you that they realize that you are the Lord of their life. And they need a Savior. And they're asking you today to come into their heart and to forgive them of their sins. I pray today that they would be saved in Jesus' name. as they pray that very simple, humble prayer. Father, I thank you today that every one of us submit our will to Him. And Lord, maybe we've been sitting down in our faith, but today we stand back up and we say, Lord, you can count on me. I'm all in. I want all of you that I can get. Today, Holy Ghost, make this word alive in our hearts. In Jesus' name, I pray the blessing of God upon these people. Amen. Pardon me? Oh, no. There were some keys that we found left in the door of the church that we have up here. I don't know whose they are, but if you need some keys.